In fact, most people tell me they still can't understand this teaching. Yes, I've heard you expound it before, but I can't understand it still. It still don't make any sense to me. Why? As long as the old self is in there, of course it cannot. The old self is not going to take it when somebody slaps you on the face. What do you think? The old self has already worked out its own reasoning at this point. There is no way somebody with an old man, the old person inside, is going to accept this kind of thing. No way. There has to be transformation. There has to be a rebirth before such a thing is possible. And there we can see, have we been reborn or not? There is the test. The Bible doesn't leave us in doubt. Our responses tell it to us. Now this word is translated as regeneration here, palingenesia. Let's look at it in two ways. First, how the way the word is used in Greek, extra-biblical Greek, that is Greek outside the Bible, in order to establish the meaning of the word, so that we do not impose our own meaning upon words. Often we need to look at words as they are used outside the Bible, because of course, even though we acknowledge that when Christians begin to use words, they do add new meaning to those words. But you cannot just take a word and make it mean whatever you like it to mean. Not even as a Christian can we do this. We can add new meaning or richer meaning to the word love, but we cannot take the word, a totally different word like hate or envy and make it mean love. That word has to be a proper vehicle, a proper means of conveying the idea of love, even if you have to enrich the word. So in non-biblical Greek, the word means, for example, it is used of the renovation of the world after the flood. The flood had destroyed the then known world, as we read in Peter. And what happens then is it is reborn, Philo, a Jewish scholar of the first century, uses this term to describe the regeneration of the world, as it were, the recreation of the world, the renewal of the world after the destruction of the flood, which wiped out everything except Noah and his family. Notice again that the word holds this meaning that something new comes after the old has been wiped out. It is also used by the Stoics. As you know, the Stoics are Stoicism is a kind of Greek philosophy, and the Stoics were those who held to this type of philosophy. The Stoics taught the renewal or resurrection of the material world out of fire. They believed that fire was going to destroy this material world, and they were not far wrong on that point, as we know. That fire is going to destroy this whole material world, but the material world will, as it were, rise again, a new, regenerated, purified material world would rise again from the flames of this Holocaust. You see, again, a total destruction, and then you have this palingenesia, this regeneration from that destruction, something new coming forth after the old has been destroyed. The word was also used to refer to resurrection after the death, the renewal or restoration after death. And so that is why some of the early church fathers understood this word, translated here as regeneration, as being equivalent to anastasis, to resurrection. And in fact, they understood Matthew 19, verse 28, some of these early church fathers, they thought that the word here referred, in fact, to resurrection. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the resurrection, when the Son of Man shall sit upon his throne." This, of course, is not an adequate understanding of the word, but it is not wrong either. It does have to do with the new world will come with the resurrection. Of course, resurrection itself is a renewal, a regeneration. So, In Matthew 19:28, then, we see that this new world refers to the restitution, the restoration of all things, referred to in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, for which we look forward to, when the last enemy, death, will be destroyed. So this new world, then, refers to the new heaven and the new earth that will come after the fire of God's judgment has totally purified, or indeed destroyed, the existing world order. Let me read to you 2 Peter chapter 3, to illustrate this very point. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, that is, unexpectedly and suddenly, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burnt up. That's why I said the Stoics were not far wrong on this point. Now, what happens then with the destruction of the present world order? There comes in verse 13 these words, in verse 13. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So, we see this constant fact that this regeneration on the universal scale. By now you will have noticed that in Titus this regeneration refers to the individual, but in Matthew 19:28 it refers to the universal scale. The whole world is being renewed, that all things will be renewed in Christ. The vision of the Bible is much bigger than the individual. We tend to emphasize almost solely the regeneration of the individual. In the Bible, the regeneration of the entire, the redemption and salvation of the entire universe is very much in view. And we need here also to broaden our scope to see things as God sees them. In the same way too, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the old has to pass away before the new can come. And here we come back to the personal level again, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, a very well-known verse which we have often quoted. But let me read it one more time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, not is passing away, is going to pass away one day. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. All of this, what are we saying all this for? To emphasize one point, my beloved brothers and sisters. You cannot have the new without the old passing away. You will not be a new creation until you can truly say that the old has gone in your life. Otherwise, you are going to be in that wretched situation which we have just mentioned a moment earlier. You are going to be caught in a squeeze between the old and the new, or torn apart in a pool between the old and the new. You will be caught in the battle between the old and the new. The two will be in determined conflict against each other, and you are going to be the battlefield. And if you particularly enjoy being a battlefield, well, carry on. But that's not what the Christian life was meant to be. The old must go once and for all. The new must come. Only then, when Christ is Lord of the new creation, when he sits upon his throne in the new creation in your life, then you will know the righteous government. You will experience the new heaven and the new earth in miniature now, which you will then experience on the universal scale on that day. Why must we live a wretched Christian life when the Lord wants to give us the best? Because we will not let go of the old, isn't it? The Lord says, he who has tasted the old wine says, the old is good. The old is good. You're used to the old life. You're used to the old ways. You feel comfortable in these things. You have become used to these things. The sound of the voice that you have become accustomed to. The views that you are familiar with, somehow they are hard to let go. And often not until your life becomes a total misery and you're near to a mental breakdown are some people willing to let the whole thing go and say, okay, I know, I realize now I can't continue. But there are some people who still won't let go even when the breakdown comes. It's absolutely dreadful. So at the cost and danger of repeating myself, I ask of you, beloved, I beg of you, not only for your own peace of mind, not only that you will not end up with a mental breakdown or end up being a hypocrite, but have some regard for the name of the church, for the glory of the Lord that you profess to love. What kind of witness is this? What kind of testimony is this when people have to look on and obviously see that there's nothing in you worth having, nothing worth desiring? They don't see any new creation there. What's there new in it? No, they see the same old person that they've seen a long time before. And so this point has to do with the washing. Now, it is only when once and for all, and I say once and for all, you are willing totally to finish with this old self, this old life, this old man in you, this old way of thinking. Only then we talk about the washing of regeneration. That is when baptism comes in, not before. Only then does baptism come in. Nobody should contemplate baptism for a moment who wants to hang on to the world, who wants to hang on to the old self, who wants to hang on to money. Please, don't think about baptism. For your own sake and for the sake of the church, please don't think about baptism in such cases. Only when you have said, yes, for me, everything will go. As we said last week, what does dying mean? Surely, if we cannot understand dying, how can we enter into the new life? Dying simply is very easy to understand. When I became a Christian, I knew that for me, everything that I held before had to come under the Lordship of Christ. And what he said had to go. That's it. My most cherished ambitions had to go. 6 months I struggled, and I knew that either I let go or I don't become a Christian. 6 months I struggled to let go of my cherished ambitions, my dreams of the future, my whole way of thinking that was so dear to me that I built up painstakingly over many years. I knew I had to go. It had to go. And only on that day when I knelt down and said, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I stood up with a man with nothing. I didn't even know where I was to go from there. All my direction of life that I had built up to then was gone. I had no more direction. I had no idea what I was supposed to do after that. I stood there truly as one newly born, utterly naked, having nothing and not knowing where I was to go. That is regeneration. Naked I came into this world, naked I leave it. When you are born again, you have lost everything. You have nothing more. Not even one shred of clothing on your back is any more your own. Nothing. What little account or what big account you have, you don't have it anymore. It is all in the Lord's hands from now on. Everything stands under His Lordship. Now, if you find this kind of life too difficult to cope with, then I can understand it. But at least say, I'm not going to become a Christian. Fine. At least we are talking honestly and squarely with one another. We're not beating around any bushes. You know that this is the choice. Either it's all or there's nothing. That's the way it is. Either you end up being born anew and so don't have one scrap of clothing left upon you, but what you will from henceforth receive as a slave of Jesus Christ, or you go and live your own life and live it to the full. Go out there and dance and drink and do whatever you like. Fine. You face the consequences that way too. But that's your choice. I have repeated this thing almost ad nauseum. I'm thinking, you're saying to yourself, how many times this guy has to keep saying this thing. But it seems no matter how many times I say it, the message doesn't seem to get through too well to many people. Right, let's move to the second point. And this has to do with the renewal. And this is a totally different concept when we come into the New Testament. Renewal here, the word is anakainosis. For those of you who know some Greek, ana means again, kainosis, renewal. So renew, again, renovate. The same word also occurs only twice in the New Testament. The noun occurs only twice in the New Testament. And the only other place this noun occurs in the New Testament is one which is very familiar, ought to be familiar to us. It occurs in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And this passage, I think we hardly need to turn to it. I have referred to it so many times before. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Present tense. Now, this is very important. Here, renewal is a process. And this renewing process can only begin after the washing of regeneration. Bear this, please, carefully in mind. So there is something that happens once and for all, namely the regeneration. You are born. And then there comes the new renewing process in which you gradually grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. These two things you must bear clearly in mind. But you cannot have the renewing without first the regeneration. And you cannot have the regeneration without totally, once and for all, finishing with the old life. This is very important to grasp. When you are born again, you came naked into the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, you live totally and only from the mercy and the grace of God. We live moment by moment upon God's grace and mercy alone. Not as some teach that we were saved by grace once in the past and now we don't need it anymore because we can forever continue on the basis of once being saved. But in the scriptural teaching, you come into the world as a spiritual infant. You are a spiritual babe and you live for constantly, indeed forever, upon the mercy and loving kindness of our God. That is being saved by grace in biblical teaching. This means, and I want to put this into practical details, when you became a Christian as a student, the whole picture changes. Whatever you are studying now is totally at the Lord's disposal. You have no more studies. You have no degrees. I have no more degrees. It is all now the Lord. I have nothing anymore. I can speak of anything as my own from henceforth. Everything is the Lord. Therefore, I have no career, I have no profession, nothing. Neither do you if you are born again. There has to be this inward change. It is not a question of giving things up externally, as I tried to emphasize last time. Total commitment is not just a matter of giving up a job. It is a way of thinking. Otherwise, you're going to give your body to be burned, as Paul was so anxious to point out, without any inner change, without any real love in the heart. Everything is outside. We are virtually buying our salvation, as it were, and here is where the great danger is. We are virtually buying our salvation by giving up our job. You might say here we come to a very dangerous form of salvation by works, whereby I am saying I'm saved on the basis by the fact that I've bought my salvation by giving up my job, my profession, everything. No. No way. God doesn't want your job, He doesn't want your money, He doesn't want anything of you. He wants your heart. What's inward? He's not interested in your job, nor is He interested in your money. Other people may be interested in that, but not the Lord. He wants the heart. And if you haven't given Him all that is in your heart, if you don't love Him with all your heart and soul and strength, He doesn't want one of your pennies. He doesn't want your offering. He doesn't want your gift. He doesn't want your car. He doesn't want your house. He doesn't want anything from you. This is the point I was trying to establish. It's regeneration. If you are truly regenerate, you know that you came forth now. The profession you have is no longer saying, I am going to do this or I am going to do that, I'm doing good graduate studies, I'm going to look for a job. You can do anything. You are a slave of Jesus Christ or a child of Jesus Christ, whichever makes no difference. Because a newly born child, as scripture says, is no different from a slave. He lives in total obedience unto his father. I hope these points really become clear. And then, when you have got the inward right, only then can we talk about what you're going to do with your job and with your possessions. These are secondary things. First things first. But once that has happened, once you have become regenerate, these other things come under the second category, renewal. But even the renewal, notice, begins from the inside and inside only. The renewal of the mind. The mind is not here just talking about the brain. It's talking about your whole way of thinking. That is where the renewal begins, after regeneration. So then, beside this word, this noun, which is translated as the renewal of the mind in Romans 12:2, the verb, or rather the two related verbs, occur another three times in the New Testament so that we can pursue with considerable accuracy our understanding of what we are talking about. Because I am not building any theories of my own, God forbid. I am not sent by the Lord to preach theories. I am here to explain what the Word of God says. And what does he say here? The word anakainizo, to renew, the verb here, occurs in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. And let me read this to you in this fearsome passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. This passage is well known, but the whole sentence begins at verse 4, and so we need to go all the way back to verse 4. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. Now here we have it in verse 6. Not in the English, though. Let me see what they have done with the word in English. It is impossible to restore. Mm-hmm. Here they've got it in verse 4. Well, perhaps it is my own mistake in putting verse 6 here. For it is important to renew or restore again to repentance. It is impossible to renew or restore again. If once you have been regenerate and made a commitment, now here the thing is this: it is also a dangerous thing to make a commitment, to say that you are totally committed at baptism when you are not totally committed, because the Lord will require it of you as someone who is totally committed, because out of your own mouth you will be judged. If you say you are totally committed, the Lord will say, okay, so I take you at your word. You said you are totally committed. Of that I shall require of you. Now that means to say you claim to be regenerate when you say you are totally committed. Notice, we have said before, salvation is total. Everything totally gone from the past, the new has come, the old has passed. But now, if thereafter you apostatize, this doesn't mean you commit one or two sins. Apostasy is not the same as committing one or two sins. Apostasy is a deliberate turning away from God after having made a commitment to him. It is impossible to renew. There is no more new beginning after. It's finished. Nothing more can be done for such a person. That's a fearful condition to be in. Now, this word is used then two more times. In this case, the verb, a related verb, anakaino'o, is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Let me read this passage to you too. So we do not lose heart. Paul is speaking of all the persecution that he has been enduring. And he says, we don't lose heart because of these things. Though our outer Buddha nature is wasting away through all the beatings and suffering that he got. And here notice the word nature. This translates the word, the Greek word for man. Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed. Here you have the word again, renewed every day. Renewed, the inner man is being renewed every day. Here we see that renewal is a process. Regeneration is once. You don't keep being regenerated. You regenerate once and that's it. But the renewing is a continuing process if so be there has been a regeneration. If you try to skip the regeneration part and go to the renewal part, you are going to be caught in what we have just said. The squeeze between the old and the new, or the being pulled apart between the old and the new. Many people have tried to skip this, and many people have also made the mistake by thinking that because they are trying to renew themselves, that they have actually been regenerated. They can't tell the difference between the two. These two things are quite different. Renewal is a continual process. Now, if you try to renew yourself, even though you may say by a dependence upon the Lord, you are trying to change your own thinking, make yourself a nicer person and so forth, without being regenerate, you'll be in trouble again. That is perhaps the kind of error that of the teaching that Helen and many others received before. The preachers failed to distinguish between these two things. They thought regeneration and renewal are the same thing. Not so at all. So as soon as you become a Christian and you try to be a nicer guy, you put more time in reading the Bible, you try to be more polite to other people, you try to be giving a bit more money in the offering, you try to be a little thinking, should I be doing God's will more? Lord, do you want me to go here or you want me to go there? Do you want me to take this job or take that job? Oh yeah, there are many Christians like that. They think that is the new life. I'm being renewed. This is a trap that so many Christians have unintentionally fallen into. Do not think that because you're saying to yourself, oh yeah, I'm seeking the Lord's will for my life, should I marry this handsome guy or not? You see, I do ask the Lord, I mean the choice is very heavily favored in view of this guy being so handsome, but I do still ask whether the Lord would have me marry this person or not. I did ask. And did you get an answer? Well, the Lord didn't say no, so it should be okay. You see, the problem is that without regeneration, you do not know the mind of the Lord. So it's all guesswork, guesswork. In the end, it becomes so desperate to live the Christian life in this way. I mean, if you can flip the Bible and point your finger there, you know, you discover the will of the Lord. I read it today, you know, the Lord was leading me in the passage that I read in my daily notes today. This all sounds nice, but it is so pathetic, please. Of course we need to look to the will of the Lord, but if you have jumped the first stage of regeneration, you are going to look in all futility for the will of the Lord. Since when the Lord will talk to you in his light when you are still in the darkness? When you are pathetically trying to patch up your old garment with a new piece of cloth? When you foolishly pour the new wine into the old wine jar? You know, there's one way that might prevent it from bursting. Only fill it half full. At least when it expands, it can expand upwards. That is why the teaching of total commitment is so repulsive to people who are not regenerate. Because if you fill the wine jar full, of course it's going to burst when the wine expands. You put the new wine in the old jar, in the old wineskin. But if you fill it half full, you can get by, isn't it? Because when it expands, it's still got some place to expand. So that the non-teaching of total commitment becomes in fact a means to survival. Because they can't stand this being pulled apart, this pressure of the new wine building up is going to burst you apart. They can't stand this, it's going to break you mentally. They're not take this kind of thing. So let's not go for total commitment. You see, there is the whole reasoning. There you can see it. Oh, my beloved, I say to you, there are many ways to make fools of ourselves. As Paul says, you don't deceive God. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. You sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption, and corruption from the flesh. Please understand this thing. So, do not imagine that because the renewing of this second stage is a process, it is identical to the first. As I've demonstrated to you, these are not identical at all. These are two separate things. And in case you have skipped the first and think that because you are trying to get renewed, therefore you are regenerate, oh, my brothers and sisters, you made a fearful mistake. And the price you will pay for that in terms of unhappiness and distress and hypocrisy is just too fearful to imagine. And so I say to you as we close, look carefully before the Lord. Are you born again? Are you regenerate? Has God's power come into you to transform you? The answer depends for your part, as we saw last week, whether you are prepared to take the cost of saying goodbye to all that he has. Except a man say goodbye to all that he has. Luke 14:33. He cannot be my disciple. He cannot. Nothing doesn't mean, as I said before, that the Lord doesn't want you as his disciple. He says you are not able to. You cannot become my disciple. It's not a possibility. Even if I wanted to accept you, I cannot, because you won't survive. So these points must be clearly borne in mind. We need to look at one last reference here to the word renew. Colossians 3:10. Before we close, Colossians 3:10. Again, the end of the old coming the new. We'll read it from verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Again, do not suppose that all lying is necessarily intentional in the sense that one deliberately sets out to deceive. The fearful part of lying is often what we call the white lies. That means to say we think it causes no harm, nothing wrong with that. Do not lie, because that is the expression of hypocrisy that we just mentioned. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed. Notice here, being renewed, present participle. Constantly in the state of renewing. You see, all this renewing is constantly a process. It has to do with a continuing process after regeneration has taken place. Ephesians 4, verse 22 has the same thing, but a slightly different word, ananeo, a related word which occurs only once in the New Testament. And let me read this to you too. Ephesians 4:22. And this is what Paul says here. Again, verse 22, put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts. Here he is speaking to some people, especially in the Ephesian church, who attend the services and are not Christians. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And here again, be renewed. This present tense here. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on. The put off is aorist there. The renewed is present tense. Again, there's continuing contrast between the one as expressed by the aorist, the once for all, and the continuing as expressed by the present tense. So then our time is gone. We must close. There is much more that to be said, but our time is gone. Together with this process of renewing, there comes also a continuing process in which God is causing you, enabling you to grow into the likeness of his image. But let me sum up, and perhaps we may have to continue one more time since there's more yet to be said. But let me sum up what we have said so far. I stress constantly that you must clearly determine whether or not you are truly regenerate or not. If, for example, the Christian life is one unceasing and unhappy conflict within you, in which you cannot get the victory, that there will be conflict for sure in the Christian life, but in which you cannot get the victory, in which you, there is a continuing stalemate, in which this deadlock is a perpetual part of your experience. You do not find that there is a conflict, but you constantly get the victory over the flesh. You are constantly victorious, and you go from strength to strength in victory. Then you cannot say with Paul, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that is not your experience, you know that regeneration is probably also no part of your experience. What then has happened is that you have skipped the regeneration part and gone straight to the renewal part. And the result is that you have been trying to patch on to your old garment the new piece of cloth. And you're going to find your old garment being torn apart as the new cloth shrinks. You must carefully determine what is true in your own experience. And then you'll know. Only then will it be possible to experience renewing. That is to say, you are growing on from strength to strength in the Christian life. That is not an unhappy process. That is a joyful process. A joyful process of growing up in the Lord. Growing up in strength. I still remember the days as I was growing up, how I gloried in my physical prowess. It felt so good. Growing up is not without its problems, but it felt good. As you felt your skill improve, your strength improve, very good feeling. As you overcame this and overcame that, it was a very good feeling. And so the Christian life should be too. I would like to see a church of Christians. I would like to see it in your experience, where you find, the Christian life is good. I now know what the Lord Jesus is saying. Life in its abundance. But then, of course, if you don't have that experience, and I say this, not only will you be miserable, you're going to make all those people around you miserable too. You're going to be such a burden upon them. Are you a burden to others? Or are you an inspiration to others? There are some Christians who are a burden. Others are so inspiring. I mean, there are some, you just have to think of them, you already feel better. Sometimes you feel a bit down, and then you think, if only Pumpkin were around, eh? we'll feel so much better, you see. No wonder the team in Hong Kong was saying, when is Pumpkin coming? Please send him over. There are some people who, by their very presence, have so much extra. They can refresh you just by being there. Just a smile on their face makes you already feel better. But there are other people, they're a real millstone around your neck. You see them and you say, here goes again. Lord, give me strength. I need it all at this moment. That cannot be right. How can a regenerate Christian be like this? That cannot be right. Something wrong with this kind of Christianity. So then, may the word of God speak to our hearts. The washing of regeneration, the renewal by the Holy Spirit, by His power. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.